Welcome back to the Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. D.R. Tucker had to get back to his other job, and Catriona McGregor joins me now. At least one of her jobs is trying to get Americans to wake up and get outside more, and no better time to really amplify that message than Earth Week. This is, of course, the 42nd anniversary this weekend. April 22nd is always Earth Day, the 42nd anniversary of that pivotal day that woke a lot of us up, but not enough of us and not quite enough when you look at the fact that, according to Catriona, the average American spends less than an hour a week outdoors. Is that correct, or is that a typo, Catriona? Welcome.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, pretty amazing. And yes, that is correct. And that's because we're spending so much time inside on computers and in cars and in our offices.
How sad is that on so many levels? What do you think we can do to turn that trend around? There's a wonderful book, of course, Nature Deficit Disorder by Richard Louv, Last Tree in the Woods, I think it was. I had him on the show like 5 years ago and you a couple of years ago. Such important work. Is the message getting out there that we're losing our connection to Mother Nature? And not only is that, does that not, you know, bode well for our protecting our environment, but also, you know, just how we're going to, with a few generations, forget what it's like to interact in a really intimate way with really the best cure for stress and overload and, you know, uber technology.
Yeah, you know, and not to be corny, but you know, it's time to wake up and smell the flowers, and spring's a really good time to do that. And so, partnering with nature really looks at how important it is to have a more meaningful life and have a life that's filled with more beauty and more health and all of those good things when we slow down and we spend more time in nature. And there are several, you know, competing trends, you know, to respond to your question. And in some, you know, some ways it's good news. I mean, today, 42 years later, there's over a billion people celebrating Earth Day. So certainly more people are embracing the concept of environmentalism and the importance of nature.
There's also more people on the planet, of course, crowding things out and demanding more resources.
Exactly. And, you know, at the same time, we have some really alarming things happening. Rickets is coming back.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And rickets, 20% of the children tested in the UK, it was found that they're developing soft bones, and this is because they're not spending enough time outside. We do need the sunlight to activate the vitamin D in our bodies, and then we need that vitamin D to build strong bones and, of course, for many other vital functions.
Is that why we're seeing a vitamin D shortage among Americans? Is that because we're not getting outside enough? Because I hear so much about that, and my own family has a shortage, and, you know, I guess that's the reason.
It is a reason, and that is why. It's because, and of course, too much sunlight is no good. I mean, you don't want to get a sunburn or, you know, cause cancers, those kinds of things. But we've kind of, the pendulum has gone too far the other way. And, you know, it's very intriguing to spend a lot of time on the computer or internet or Nintendo, whatever it may be. And unfortunately, people are going overboard with that and not getting out.
Big time. Intriguing and can be addictive. We're all, I think, I mean, I looked around last night around our kitchen counter, and there was my husband on his computer doing work, my daughter on her laptop doing her homework, I on my laptop planning today's show. I thought, I guess this is the modern version of communing with your family. At least we're in the same room on our technology.
And it's true, you know, and we all do it.
And funny and not so funny, really.
Yeah. And it's, again, it can be addictive. And, you know, let's not get too down on technology. Obviously, these things help us enormously. I mean, you know, I use the Internet. You use the Internet. It's incredibly helpful to communicate with people around the world about different issues and to do research. It's amazing. It's amazing what it's helped
us
to do.
Truly.
But, you know, too much of a good thing. And, we need a little bit more balance in our life. So that's why I started off saying it's time to get out and smell the flowers. And, you know, that might sound kind of corny, but actually that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, making sure you have time in your day to get outside, whether that's in the morning and taking a little walk before you start work, or have lunch outside, or, you know, turn off the TV and go look at the stars at night.
It's really as calming as meditation. In fact, for many people, it is, you know, a form of meditation and a way to get spiritually connected. It sounds almost cliche, but it really, really works.
It does really work, and many people around the globe and indigenous cultures and Native Americans and my ancient ancestors, the Celts and so on, you know, they really saw nature as a portal to what one would call a divine realm, or if we look at it more scientifically, you know, the realm of that meditative state of mind. And in the book, I actually cover some of the scientific reasons for why that's true, why communing with nature is not only relaxing, but opens us up to a whole new level of awareness and a whole new ability to interact and connect with other life forms on Earth.
And as we're not waking up and smelling the flowers or smelling the CO2 quickly enough, as I say, more Americans are, you know, smelling the hamburgers and the French fries and the Coca-Cola. We have an obesity epidemic, and there's a connection and a way to address both, not quite in one fell swoop, not so easy, or easier talked about than actually done. But do you think people have made the connection between our, you know, overindulgence with, you know, sort of the bad stuff and our neglect of the good stuff? Nature.
I think
that outdoors,
people are
moving.
Getting walking outside is good, and all of those things. And you know, I think part of the issue is, you know, nature is absolutely free. And you can just get out there and enjoy it. You can go out and look at those stars. No one's going to charge you or bill you. No one's going to advertise and try and appeal to your consumer instincts to get out there and do this. And frankly, that's part of the problem. You know, we've turned into a major consumer society. We are impacted by all the multiple ads that we get. And hey, you're not feeling your life is meaningful. You're feeling a little lonely. Go out and have that hamburger. Go out and buy a new car. You know, when actually the thing that create lasting memories for people, if people really consider it's that time they saw that incredible sunset, maybe with someone they loved, or took a hike on the beach, or you know, had a gorgeous garden at their home. And these are the things that build lasting memories, and they're all free.
And the sedentary lifestyle that two Americans are living, it's costing all of us in terms of health care. And while, you know, any exercise is better than no exercise, too many of us are getting in our cars and going to the gym and burning electricity on the treadmill. You know, how can we get away from that trend?
It's true. And, you know, part of it is personal choice. And, again, finding that balance. And, you know, it's not easy, especially nowadays when people are working really, really hard, even harder than before. And there is a cultural expectation that you're working all the time. It's almost like culturally expected that when you see somebody, it's very common. Oh, how are you? I'm busy. So part of it is, you know, a personal choice to build in that time to get out and walk. And, of course, my preference is that people get outdoors, not just to the gym, although any kind of physical exercise is good. And but it's also a cultural phenomenon, and you know, kind of not buying into the fact that maybe you have to be plugged into work or plugged into a computer, Nintendo, whatever it is, to kind of keep pace with this kind of crazy cultural imbalance that we're going through.
Another negative trend is recess getting cut back at so many schools across America, just at a time when, you know, it's needed more than ever.
I know. Yes. It's really concerning. And, you know, Richard Louv, I know Richard well, and he covered this incredibly well in his great book. And, you know, the studies that they did, they're showing that kids are just spending less and less time. So, of course, you know, we actually now have that health impact that some kids are actually getting rickets, my God. But it even affects kids emotionally, not having time playing outside. You know, people aren't meant to, you know, we do have physical bodies. We are meant to move around. We're meant to breathe fresh air. We're meant to feel the sun, the warmth of the sun, and
nothing,
you know,
better.
Sitting behind a little desk just doesn't do it for a lot of our youth. We need to provide them other opportunities.
Absolutely. What's happened with your book? I hope there's been growing interest in it as more Americans start to realize that we're, you know, in danger of losing connection with, you know, our life support system, Mother Earth, nature, the beauty outdoors.
Well, the good news is the book was awarded a gold medal just about 9 months ago, and as a world-changing book. And so I'm very excited about that and really happy that it received that recognition. I think it is speaking to an important issue that we're all facing. And I do think that more and more people are making that connection to the importance of nature, and whether they're actually doing that in their lives today or they plan to or would like to, I think that's a growing interest of the population.
Now, do you think as the economy grows, we have to destroy Mother Nature, putting in more parking lots and shopping malls? Is there a way to have a healthy, recovering American economy and still, devote more time and, attention to partnering with nature, the title of your book?
Yeah, well, there are two levels of that, and I know you've discussed this quite a bit, that, the economy is based on natural resources. It's based on the earth. We can't have an economy without a healthy natural environment. And, we certainly see that when the fishing industry collapses and the timber industry collapses and, the oil and so on and so forth. So linking how we do our work to the environment and to nature and to protecting those things and conserving those for future generation is key to having a long-term healthy economy and not a boom or bust economy. And at a more higher level, I also make the point in the book that when we ignore our own individual unique creativity and what we're meant to be doing here on Earth, it's easier for us to then ignore creation and nature and to destroy it. So I think also that when more people get more in tune with who they are, what they want to be doing versus kind of being put on an assembly line, we're also going to have people that are going to take better care of the environment.
How important is it, where we happen to live? We're lucky enough, blessed enough to live in the Bay Area where, as I joke, our weather, from climate change just gets more extreme, just gets nicer for the most part. But, we do tend to be, I think, those of us maybe living in California, Colorado, Montana, areas where we're out in the outdoors more because the weather is, if not nicer, just there's just more beautiful, landscapes to be in. And yet people, my friends in the cities, when I go to Manhattan, I look up at the, concrete jungle and I say, well, I could see why it's a little bit harder for my friends who live and work here to connect with Mother Nature. And how can we overcome that, place determining, how much we have that intimate, connection to nature?
And I think it's especially difficult for people who don't have resources to get out of some of those urban environments, especially where those environments are polluted. And, there could be foul air that they're breathing or, bad water or those kinds of things. That's really unfortunate, and it's very difficult. I mean, I really don't have a total answer for that. I think it's, again, a societal problem that we have. As far as climate issues, I mean, the Avink over there in Russia, they were living in extreme conditions, really, really cold weather, and they really managed to live quite sustainably because they worked and lived very closely with the reindeer. And so, we can learn to live in different kinds of environments and work with nature no matter where we are on the planet. But if we are polluting and causing damage, that's where everything breaks down. And, of course, then that is our fault as well for making that happen.
Yeah, and an exception to the broad generalization I just made about, where you live and the weather makes a difference. Look at Alaska, and we're going to have one of the Goldman Environmental Prize winners from this week, a fabulous, inspiring event in San Francisco, is an Inuit from Alaska. And, they are so connected to their environment because they're so dependent on their environment. You wouldn't call their climate very, hospitable in terms of the weather. But, they are just by nature and just going back, forever, they've been connected to the land.
They have been, and because of that, it makes life more meaningful. There's just no other way around it. I did a lot of work with the Native Alaskans and Native Russians, and one of the things I loved is the Native Alaskans, especially the fishing families, and they would say to me, "We know when to go fish for the salmon." Of course, this was when there were salmon, and there aren't enough to help them survive now. But they used to say, "We used to know when to go fish for the salmon when the yellow flowers came out that were the same color as the salmon eyes." They were very linked into this very wondrous dance of life that exists all around us. And when we remove ourselves, as we've done in industrialized society, and keep ourselves locked in our houses and behind our computers, we miss out on this beautiful dance of meaning. And then we lead more hollow lives, and in exchange, we eat and we buy things.
Just at a time when we need more meaning and connection and spirituality. So maybe the pendulum, hopefully, is about to have swung, so far in one direction that we're going to swing back to a more, beautiful, satisfying, natural less is more kind of existence in this country. Because, I mean, if nothing else, you know, those who have studied the happiness index, you know, in various nations around the world, you know, we're down there. We're way down there. We're way up there in terms of consumption and materialism. And then Bhutan, you know, haven't been there, but I hear, you know, it's really, again, it sounds cliche, but it's really the simple things in life. People say, you know, on their deathbeds, what mattered most was family, friends, you know, what they left behind in terms of their impact on the world. And those things are pretty much free, and not about acquisition, which, of course, you can't take with you.
That's right. And you know, it is those simple things. It's the, you know, the beautiful clarity of a blue sky, or, you know, hearing the song of a bird, you know, singing, and seeing the green that's coming out all around us now. These are just things to treasure and enjoy, and to take the time to do so. And if there's one thing that I could ask for people to celebrate for Earth Day, it's, you know, for themselves to get out there and enjoy the beauty, and maybe even start to consider just how incredible these living things are that surround us, the redwood trees and, you know, the coyote and the bobcat and, you know, the red-tailed hawk and some of the amazing animals and trees that you know, we live near.
Mm. Just have a couple minutes left, Catriona. What are you seeing happening in schools, I guess mostly elementary schools? Are there, you know, more or fewer sort of environmental studies classes or outdoors, nature's classes that can get, you know, kids outside if they don't do it at home?
Yeah, well, I think, and, you know, as far as the younger generation, and I think looking there is really key, the elementary students, again, you're right, there's less recess happening, and there's less emphasis on getting kids outdoors. So this is, I believe, harming children. It's harming them, you know, physically. It's harming them, I think, their growth. I think we learn from nature. We learn from Mother Nature. Some of the greatest inventors and artists of our time learn from watching nature and being observant. So when you remove that, you're removing those opportunities for growth for children. With that said, I also think there's a lot of promise in the younger generation that's coming out now. I work with some high school students and college students, and, you know, they seem to have a very strong sense of who they are and what they want to be doing in this world. And that goes to kind of expressing their skills and their interests in the world through work. And as that generation comes up more and more, I think we're going to see more progressive jobs, more variety of jobs, and people feeling more satisfied through work, so perhaps spending less time consuming and making needless objects.
Catriona McGregor, I want to thank you for your continued great work and wish you a happy Earth Day, Earth Week. Of course, for some of us, it's Earth Day, Earth Night all the time. We never stop thinking about what we can do to help protect our, you know, gorgeous planet we have, and it is our home, and thank you for what you've contributed to that conversation.
Well, thank you, and have a great 42nd Earth Day.
42nd, wow. I remember the first one. I guess that kind of dates us, doesn't it? Let's hope that going forward we're going to really make, you know, Everyday Earth Day another cliche, but it is so true. We depend on our natural resources, on Mother Earth, on our environment each and every day. To those who don't think so, I say try going one day or even an hour without food, water, or clean air. That does it for this edition of The Green Front. If you joined us in progress, please check out the archives, both at the Progressive Radio Network at prn.fm.com, also my website, which is thegreenfront.com. Want to wish you a great green week. See you next time. Get out there this weekend and go to your local Earth Day events. A lot of people work hard to put on these programs, and it's for everybody. So that's you. See you next time.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.